Hello, everyone in construction world. Welcome to another episode of Constructive Conversations. I'm your host, Eddie Thompson of Brown Edwards & Company CPAs. Today, I have one of our experts in the firm in the succession planning field out of our Kingsport office, Kingsport, Tennessee, Will Clark. Will's a director in the Kingsport office and has been with Brown Edwards for several years. We're very very privileged to have him in our office, and he does great work in the succession planning field. Will, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here today.
Yes, not a problem at all. Will, would you just tell our audience a little bit about yourself? You know, you can give them a little bit of background on your personal life and then how your career has developed to where you are today.
Sure. So I guess I'll start back at the college level. I actually was a major in accounting, obviously, but I also did a double major in humanities. And for a long time, thought I'd like to go the liberal arts route. But my desire to eat and to experience a little bit more in life kind of led me to accounting. And I've actually been pretty amazed to see the crossover between humanities type things and accounting. A lot of people think accounting is all numbers, and it's largely numbers based, but it's also very, very heavy for the tax side of things and classifications, classifying income, losses, gains, all this type of stuff appropriately. And especially in the construction industry, we see a lot of the importance of classification of everything in a financial statement properly, from your estimates, you know, to all of your facets. So it's been a great change. I started working in a small public accounting firm right out of grad school. I went to University of Tennessee for my master's. And being in a really small office where we had four partners, two staff accountants, and an admin kind of gave me a unique perspective, I think, on the accounting world, because I could really delve down into the guts of what made an individual business run from a very, I had a lot of depth and maybe not as much as breadth at the time, but it gave me a good robust base to launch from. And from there, I worked for a larger, better established public accounting firm, which we later merged into Brown Edwards. So I've been with Brown Edwards since 2015 and, glad to be here.
Well, good. We're sure glad to have you. When I sent you the questionnaire to fill out for this podcast to get a little bit of background on you, mm-hmm. I was really intrigued to see that you play the bagpipes.
I do. Yep. I started playing Highland pipes when I was about 12 years old, 12 and a half, and competed pretty heavily in that from Ligonier, Pennsylvania down to Montgomery, Alabama. It was probably my farthest south pipe competition that I went to. So I did that for a number of years and enjoyed it a lot. It was a whole new world that I didn't know existed until I went to a local summer festival in my area and found a guy about my age playing pipes. And I was intrigued. I started talking with him and I got my eyes open pretty quickly.
If I'd have had some forethought to it, I would have had you play them on the show today.
Cool. Yeah, so, well, they're actually laying in pieces right now. I'm in the process of tying in a new bag, so it's probably best that you didn't. I would have had to say, "Oh no, sorry, can't do that."
So one of your favorite music genres is metal. Have you figured out how to incorporate Metallica into the bagpipes?
You know, Metallica probably could. They've got they redid a version of Whiskey in the Jar, which is an Irish trad song. And so they heavyized it. So you could probably work some pipes in there. There's actually, I've had people request me play Freebird. It's not exactly metal, but it's precursor with some of the AC/DC stuff. And there's definitely some people that have really mean versions of Thunderstruck on the bagpipes. So,
yeah, well, that's definitely a topic for another time, maybe, or one of our next in-houses or something.
Sure.
So, Will, tell us a little bit about your role in the succession planning part of Brown Edwards.
Sure. Well, so as I guess you said in your intro, I'm a tax director, and so that's usually my bailiwick where I live and play. But it also gives us some unique insight into the succession planning world, because a lot of business owners really focus a lot of their concerns about succession planning on the tax implications. And so when we're reviewing legal documents like buy-sell agreements, or when we have an owner come to us to help us evaluate or help them evaluate an offer to sell the business, or if they just come to us and say, hey, we're really successful, we've got income, we don't know what to do with it, we don't know what an exit strategy is, we're getting older, what should we do? Being on the tax side of thing really has opened the doors for a lot of great conversations regarding succession planning. And for my own purposes, I've really worked more on the sell side of the transaction, helping owners of mature businesses evaluate and plan and execute their exit strategies in what we hope and what we try, you know, what we strive to make is the most tax efficient, financially supportable manner for them. And we've worked with businesses, you know, with deals in the hundreds of thousands up to businesses, you know, with business sales in particular of over $20 million. So we've seen a pretty broad spectrum of this type of work.
All right. So you run the gambit of most of everything that people need when it comes to getting out of their business and figuring out their exit strategies.
We really do. Yep, absolutely. And especially when it comes to a long-term tax client, we've got a good history. And this would be for an A&A client as well. We've got a long history of helping them with their financial matters, seeing all the facets of their business laid out on their financial statements, and getting to dig down into transactions, whether times are good or times are bad, to understand the inner workings of their company in the broader context of their industry. And that gives us a lot of good insight to different ways that we can help them. So,
Right. So I always tell people that it's never too early or never too late to start thinking about succession planning. Whether you're just starting out and you want an idea of where you want to be in 5 to 10 years, maybe 20 years, you know, maybe your plan is to grow the business as quick as possible and sell it. Or maybe it's to keep yourself involved for 20, 25 plus years and pass it on to children. But who should be most interested in listening to this podcast today?
I think if you're a business owner, regardless of whether you're in the construction industry or not, but particularly if you are in the construction industry, if you're involved with ownership and management of a business, this is probably going to be for you. I think you'll get something out of it. And as far as, you know, your comment about it's never too early to start, I would back that up 100%. You know, when we look at tax implications in particular of any kind of succession plan, sometimes those take a while to flesh out and design to where we can actually get the end result that the business owner is wanting. And so having a little lead for that is good. But as we'll probably get into a little bit later, there's a lot more than taxes to consider with any kind of succession plan. And so the more lead time that you have for that, the better your output is going to be, your end result.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even the type of entity that you set up can have consequences when it comes to your exit strategy. So even in the pregnancy stage of your company, you know, before you've even created it, you know, those are things to consider and good to consult with people such as you and or whoever their tax accountant is.
So,
definitely never too early. But Will, why is succession planning so important? And I know that you'll talk about the pros and cons, and in this particular instance, probably more the cons of why it's so important to start planning for succession.
Well, I think it's important for a lot of reasons. You know, for a lot of business owners, if they're in a more mature stage of their business particularly, but even if it's someone starting out with high hopes and aspirations of where they want to get to later in life, the business really becomes one of their largest, if not their single largest, most valuable assets. As such, there's a lot of a lot of tax and financial components that go along with that. And there's a lot of non-financial components that go with that. You know, we've got to think from the tax and financial side, when and how can we best monetize that large asset? How can we handle the tax bite? How can we measure that? How can we minimize it? What can the owner do with the cash that he gets after tax purposes from the sale if he goes through a sale process, and how should it be invested? But with that in mind, we also have other implications. You know, what's the owner planning on doing for the rest of his life? Is he going to go start another business? You know, this will affect his management decisions, whether he can travel, pursue philanthropy. It'll ultimately impact how he can transfer wealth to the next generation, to his children, his grandchildren, if that's something he's desirous of doing. And really, I think it's important to cap that off by just thinking about a business as the owner's magnum opus. This is the great work of their life. Business owners don't want to see their life's work wasted or transferred in a way that is out of their control. You know, that, like you said, business owners will spend 25 years or more working up in a business, making it successful. There's tremendous hardship financially and otherwise, emotional stress that can all be part of that. And so no one wants to see their life's work wasted or their wealth transferred in a way that they did not get to control. So I think all of those are important reasons why thinking about succession planning is important for business.
Right. So what types of vehicles are available for succession planning?
Well, a lot of succession planning can come down to it's a transfer of your business, right? So we can have transition from an external perspective. They can be sold or transferred to an external third party. They can be transferred to the internal next generation management team or the family members of a business owner. And they can even be transferred, as we've seen here in our firm quite a bit, with the use of an ESOP or an employee stock option plan or stock ownership plan. And that's where you're actually transferring the ownership of the business to all your eligible employees of that business. Of course, you can even transfer them to a third party private equity interest. We're seeing that in a lot of industries right now. And finally, you know, the biggest way that you can transfer the business, it's probably not the best, is, and it's also the result of not doing a lot of planning in many cases, or of dramatic contingencies in the owner's life, and that's just terminating the business, closing it outright. So those are really the probably the biggest vehicles that we see or methods of exiting a business.
Right. And that last option is truly the last option where you're doing a complete liquidation and you're really not getting the best value out of the company that you would otherwise if you were selling. There's no goodwill. You're selling assets off for what you can get for them, paying off debt, and it is what it is. So you're absolutely getting no value for your backlog or goodwill or customer base and such. So
absolutely,
and yeah, that usually results from, like you said, a lack of planning.
Well, sure, and it's also, you know, disadvantageous from the perspective, you know, a lot of owners rightly see their employees as extensions of their own family. They want to take care of those workers. They want to see that business succeed and thrive even beyond them. And when you just have to wind up a business and terminate it, your owners, you know, don't always get the best results. Your business is gone. And frankly, you know, your employees and the folks that have helped you build or run your business really don't get much out of that. They end up having to find alternate employment. So for a lot of reasons, that's really the worst case scenario that business owners, I think, would evaluate in the process.
Right. So out of those different vehicles, what are some of the tax advantages or disadvantages of each, or which ones have the better tax advantages?
Sure. So when we look at transferring the business, we can look at transferring usually one of two things if we try to break it down in a nutshell. And that is, we're either transferring the assets of the business or we're transferring the equity. So I mentioned sales to third parties, external third parties, people in your own industry, one construction firm selling to another. That type of deal is usually structured as an asset sale. And asset sales are good for the purchaser because they usually are a lot more common, and they allow the business purchaser to kind of pick and choose which assets he's actually wanting out of the business, not purchase what he doesn't want. And because we're selling assets, there's no sale of liabilities usually that goes along with that, or a very limited sale of liabilities. So in other words, the purchaser in an asset isn't having to assume unknown liability in the same way that he would if he had purchased the equity of the company. And so that kind of leads you to the second type of structure that you can have when you're talking about passing or transferring a business on. And we have the asset sale. We also have an equity sale. And this is where it can be made to an external third party. They can buy the stock, for example, of a company. The next generation management team may wish to buy the stock. Private equity interests are, by definition, purchasing part of your equity in your company. And that's also where employee stock ownership plans come in as well. So for a business owner, when you're selling the equity of your business, you are literally transferring that whole bucket of assets inside of the business to someone else. So you transfer not only assets, but also liabilities of all varieties. And for the owners, that usually can work out fairly good with the release of liability, and also with the fact that a lot of the gain recognized from a tax side on an equity sale is capital, or largely capital in nature. For the purchaser of that business, you know, they're buying stock, so they're not redepreciating assets typically, or certain things like that. So it's either going to be an asset sale or an equity sale or some hybrid therein, but it's usually asset or equity straight up.
Gotcha. So thinking about succession planning, it can be overwhelming. So how does someone get started with that?
Well, there's lots of good ways. And I think the most important thing to keep in mind for anyone looking at this is get started. It can be, and it is going to be a process. It can be difficult, but get started. Now, the best way to do that, I think, is probably just let your CPA know that you're interested in evaluating this process, knowing how things work, what you need to think about when you're talking about transferring your business eventually, whether it's internal succession planning or external. And really let the CPA help guide you. You could also go to an attorney, obviously, and have them try to walk you through. But your CPA, especially if it's a CPA you've worked with for a number of years, they're very detail-oriented. They're experienced in seeing the big picture overall about the company. They're used to seeing the granular details, in many cases, of your company. And they know your history. So it's a lot easier to start having those conversations with someone who has a robust background in your business. And frankly, you know, just as a specific step, I think a good way to start easing into this type of process is talk with your CPA about reviewing your buy-sell agreement. They'll basically take that agreement, which encapsulates a lot of the contingencies of what's going to happen to your business if you die, if you become incapacitated, if you want to sell it to someone else. Take that agreement, drill down into it, see what the tax implications are going to be, what the ownership control aspects are going to be, and evaluate, is that really what you want? And then how can we maybe make that better?
So Will, how do you assemble the team and who all should be on it?
That's a great question. And I think, like we had just talked about, you know, you want to probably start with your CPA. I think that's going to be the single best touchstone for getting all of this together. And the CPA can then actually help you guide you in assembling your transaction or succession planning team. Now, who else should be on it besides the CPA? It's definitely going to be your business owners. Sometimes that's a single person. Sometimes that's an ownership group. But it should be the owners of the business, and they're probably going to want to pull in some of their big key financial and operational management personnel to some of those discussions. And that can include the president, CEO of the company, if it's not an owner. It can include the CFO and or even the controller of the company. And so all of these people are going to bring good, granular, detailed oversight and knowledge of the business to help the owners and the CPA craft a plan for their succession strategy. You're definitely going to also want to include on this team your attorney, and as things progress, your investment advisor. Because again, hopefully with a well-planned transition and transaction at the end of it, that's going to culminate in a pretty good amount of cash to the owners or ownership group. And so your investment advisor, knowing what's going on and how the plan may be structured, is going to be able to give you some good insight on what to do with some of that cash as well. So later in the process, you might actually need to add other experts and outside help, maybe your banking contact, maybe a business valuation specialist or an outside company broker. A lot of companies now, particularly in niche markets, will use external brokers to help them sell their business, market it, get offers, all that type of thing. So, but again, I think your key team, just to summarize, is going to be your CPA, your business owner group, probably some key members of the business management team, and then the company's attorney. And then from there, you can expand it to as broadly as you need.
Yeah. And I'll also add just that communication with all parties that are involved with backing, whether it's your bonding, your surety companies, the financial institutions that lend you money. A lot of times they want to know, you know, what is the plan before they lend you money, before they write you a bond for a job. They want to know, you know, what's your succession plan, and is it going to be fully funded? Is there contingencies in place in case the owner passes away, either during the term of a loan or during a construction project? Is the company going to be able to still be viable and go on and be able to complete whatever they're working on or whatever outstanding debt there is to pay? So definitely, I wouldn't necessarily say that those need added to the team, but communication throughout the planning process is pretty vital and important to keeping those relationships built with the people that are giving you bonds to perform work and lending you money to finance your company and your projects.
Well, absolutely. I think that's a fantastic point, you know, and it drives home the bigger idea that succession planning, even if we're talking about that and the business owner is concentrated on that for a portion of their time, none of this happens in a vacuum. You know, the business still goes on and must go on. And so, like you said, you definitely are going to have to maintain excellent communication with all interested parties of your business. So that's a great point.
Yeah. So Brown Edwards has a great valuation niche, a great team put together. And I know that there's others out there, but every company should consider a valuation at some point or another. But at what point should they bring that in? You know, and there's an upfront cost to that. You know, should it be done in the planning stage? Should it be done at the exit stage? And can that help the progression of the succession planning conversation itself?
Sure. Good question. I think the short answer is yes, it's definitely something to consider despite the upfront cost. And it's something probably to be considered fairly early in the whole planning process. You know, having an independent business valuation is incredibly useful, and it's really hard to overstate the utility in having a realistic third party's independent idea of what your company is worth. And of course, you know, from the cost side, there are different levels of service, and your business valuation advisor can help walk you through each of those levels to tailor what you really need for your planning purposes. And that's also going to affect the cost. Maybe it actually will help bring some of that cost down. But it's really important to have that valuation, I think, as a starting point, because anytime we start talking about what's my business worth, when you're the business owner, put your entire life into this business, it's really easy for wishes or hopes, for anecdotal experiences of friends or business colleagues to kind of cloud the reality of your business and what your business in all of its nuances is worth. So getting an outside view of that, I think, helps clear away some of that clutter and really drill down to the core issue, the value of that business. So you can take that value and plan. And, you know, it's great. We talk about getting this valuation early in the process because, well, let's say the valuation comes back a lot lower than you think it should be. Okay. That's a great opportunity to sit with your CPA and your management team, your business valuation expert, and talk about why is it lower than I think it should be? What did you see as an outside party that I'm not seeing, number one? And then number two, how do we remediate that? What can we do to actually increase that business valuation within the time frame that we're looking at for, you know, eventually consummating the transfer of the business? So,
yeah. So some of the triggering events for succession in a company, you know, it could be a planned retirement, could be death or disability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be divorce. It could be different things, but yeah, we always hope that it's a planned retirement. So how does retirement and financial and legacy goals of the current owners tie into and affect succession planning?
A great question. And so, you know, like I said, maybe at the outside of this this interview, there's a lot more than just taxes and money that comes down when we think about what a business is and what ownership of a business and building a business mean. And I think you talk about legacy. The owners of a business, when they're looking at succession planning, really have to think about what do they want their legacy to be. What is the thing or the group of things that they started this business to achieve in the first place? What do they want out of it? A lot of those are going to be financial, obviously, but there's also going to be non-financial goals. So they need to be realistic about what that is. And sometimes business owners get wrapped up in the day-to-day operations of running that company, and they might not have given a whole lot of thought to why are they doing what they're doing and what do they want to see at the end of the day, at the end of their career. So I think it's important for them to really consider all of their goals, what they want their legacy to be, and then what do they want to do when they've reached the end of their career or where they want the end to be for that business.
Well, assume that you're getting ready to sell your business and already have a buyer lined up. Is it too late to meaningfully affect the transaction?
I think in short, no, it's not. You may already have a buyer lined up. They might have given you a letter of intent. You might be halfway through the due diligence phase. But as long as that transaction has not been inked, it's not been closed, you still have time to potentially tweak the transaction terms and actually really benefit yourself from the perspective of how much after-tax cash you get to any major changes you need to make to which assets are sold or things that have been forgotten or terms of the sale agreement, if we're going to, again, look at an external transfer here, look at terms that maybe you didn't understand fully what their implications are. So if your previous CPA has several years of working with you, they've got several years of tax returns, they've got that letter of intent, they can really take that and kind of do a quick high-level overview of the transaction plan to pull out any pain points or notify you of pain points or savings opportunities maybe that you haven't considered. So just as an example, we had a client that did exactly this a couple years ago. They were working with an external brokerage in their industry and came to us to have us help evaluate some offers for them and basically do what I said, point out pain points, you know, things they didn't realize, maybe help structure the transaction in a better way. And as a result of that, by making a few changes, we were actually able to assist that client and come up with a plan to save them about $45,000. So it's never too late until you actually ink that transaction. It's never too late to get some.
So you sign on the dotted line.
That's right.
Yep, and relinquish. So I'm going to ask an obvious question. And, you know, actually I was asked this question. I gave a presentation on this at a conference, and it was brought up to me that the group that I was speaking to, they have a lot of problems getting people to move on a succession plan, to start one.
Yep.
And if I had any advice for them on the best way to prod a business owner to start planning for succession. And I told them simply what I say and what I would tell them is you're going to die. You're going to die or you're not going to be around. Something's going to happen. Eventually you're going to die and somebody's going to have to take over the company. Now we don't want that to be the ultimate succession plan, but you have to plan for those contingencies. But with succession planning, the costs that are associated with your CPA, your attorneys, having a business valuation done, this is kind of an obvious question, but is it really all necessary?
Well, it's a good question. And, you know, just to piggyback off your point of, you know, you're going to die at some point. I mean, that it's sort of a blunt way of putting it, but it gets to the heart of the matter. Something is going to happen. That may be death of an owner, may be incapacity of an owner, maybe a particularly large job goes bust. And hey, did we plan for that? Did we plan for how we were going to take care of any of those contingencies? It could be something, you know, hopefully we never experience again all of the horror of the pandemic from a medical and economic side of things, especially. But that type of thing happened. And so, yeah, we definitely need to evaluate those issues. So more to your question, though, it is expensive. But yeah, I would think that it is necessary for sure, because no one knows what tomorrow is going to bring. And I think it was an old commercial. I can't remember the company that had it, but I think it was an insurance company. Life comes at you fast was their motto. And it's true. It does. Mm-hmm. So we need to think about succession planning. We need to realize that it is expensive. There's a lot of accountants' fees, attorney fees, business valuation fees, things like that that can go into the mix. But at the same time, I think we need to be honest about what the benefit would be for doing the planning now, and weigh that against what's the cost if we don't plan.
Right.
Because there is a balance to be struck in all things. And this is definitely one of those. You might not need the highest level of business valuation. So maybe we can save you some money by doing a lower tier, conclusion of value report for you. That's something that you would definitely want to look into. Maybe you start with your CPA and your CPA helps you flesh out what you all think is a good plan. And then you bring the attorney in to try to minimize the attorney's fees. So there are different ways that we can really think about this and how to balance benefits and costs. But it's really important to realize what the costs could be if you don't plan. And I think that's an important issue for owners to consider, because those costs aren't always financial. Like I said, you know, if your children work for the business, if your employees are like family to you, one of the large costs of failing the plan is what happens to those people if something happens to you as the owner. So all of those factors have to be considered. I think the best advice that we could really give here is be open and upfront with your CPA. Let them know what your concerns are. Let them know what your budget is, you know, and talk about how you can meet in the middle. Build that solid foundation before you even launch into the process in depth and start incurring a bunch of fees that maybe you don't need to. And your CPA, again, I've said all along, it's great to have them start this conversation or start the conversation with them, because they can sit down and explain to you and demonstrate the value that they are going to bring, and that the whole process at its culmination will actually bring to you.
So. Yeah, it's definitely an upfront investment. But from the standpoint of, you think about what happens if you don't plan for this, it could be complete and utter devastation financially for the company, for your heirs personally, if you don't have a plan in place. Even the tax consequences that you could avoid by doing this, it's just an upfront investment that it really pays dividends in the long run.
Yep. It's kind of a cliche that failing to plan is planning to fail, but
right.
We have proverbs like that for a reason. They're cliche, but they are true. And, you know, I think every CPA and attorney can probably provide horror stories about planning gone wrong, where there is, in effect, no planning or no good planning. And this can be for ownership transactions, or this can be from estate planning transactions. You might think you have a good plan because someone told you one time 20 years ago it was a good plan. But if they haven't taken into their consideration all the changes to your business, to your family life, your heirs can pay a heavy price financially and with the amount of time it takes to wade through some of these details.
Yeah. So any final thoughts, Will, on today's topic?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, plan early. If you don't know how to start that process, I think going to your CPA and just saying, hey, look, I don't know what to do, but I think I need to start looking at this because we're involved in a really complex industry. Construction is incredibly complex. And there's a lot of different, we call them stakeholders or components, internal and external to those businesses. And just go to your CPA, be upfront, be honest, say, hey, this is complex. I don't know where to start. What would you recommend? And let your CPA help guide you through that process. If you don't feel like you're getting the guidance that you need, be open and honest with your CPA about that, so you all can make sure that everyone is on the same page of what we all want to be the end goal that we're working towards here. And if you're part of the management team of a business and your owners are not really wanting to think about this, I think that may depend how you go from there may depend on your relationship with the owners. But if nothing else, if that CPA has had a longer term relationship, sometimes that long history gives us the ability to speak some hard truths to try to help our clients. And so even if a management team member were to ask the CPA, hey, I think we have a potential problem here. How should we think about this, or should we mention this to the owners? They might even be able to help you with that interpersonal relationship side of things as well. So don't be afraid to ask questions, plan early, and I think that'll lead to a much better result at the end of everything.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. So Will, if someone's thinking about succession planning, you know, they can obviously reach out to one of us here in at Brown Edwards that they're used to dealing with, and we can direct them, point them in the right direction. But how could someone get in direct contact with you or your succession planning team?
Sure. Well, they're welcome to visit our website and see my contact information there. But my phone number is 423-246-6104. And I'd be happy to talk with anyone if they want to get in touch and even just ask some questions about, hey, here's our situation. What do you think we need to do? How should we plan for this? We can at least begin a conversation that way. Or you can also find my my email address on our website as well. And if I'm not the best fit to work for you, if I'm too far from your area of operations, like Eddie said, you know, we can always find someone in your area to definitely help be the face of that relationship and help you get the service that you need.
Great, Will. It was awesome having you on here. You know, someone that works in this regularly, has a lot of knowledge, one of our firm expert in succession planning. And I know you've done webinars, you've done speeches, presentations on this, and they may be out there, I believe, on our website, our webinar series, that people can go and catch one of those. But obviously, everyone can subscribe to the YouTube channel for this Constructive Conversations podcast, or listen to the podcast wherever you, on whatever medium you get your podcasts on. But this has been Eddie Thompson and Will Clark, both from Brown Edwards and Company, with Constructive Conversations, wrapping up another episode. Just want to say to everybody out there, start planning now or plan to fail. Right, Will?
That's right.
All right. And keep on building, everybody. Thanks.